Good morning, everybody. Let's take a look. Hey, Matt's back in his seat. That's awesome. Matt's back in his seat. Let's see if anybody else is trying to fool me today. Back. Jack and Cheryl are back where they're supposed to be. All right. Huh? Who? Mikey. I see. Okay. And there's Gustin. Hi, Gustin. Okay, we're going to preach. Pray with me. I'm sorry, Gustin's not going to preach. Well, he probably very good. Can? Okay. Pray with me as we get started. Heavenly Father, it is so good to be here today. That last song was just so wonderful. Lord, thank you for lifting our spirits and being present with us in a powerful way, for the work you're doing in our hearts, preparing us for your word. I just ask, Lord, that all the distractions, all the concerns and cares of this day would just be completely set aside for this time as we hear your word. Please press this truth deeply within our hearts that we might learn, that we might actually apply it. Please help us, Lord. We give you the glory now for your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as you know, we're continuing in our series in 1 Corinthians. I have a warning, though. A parental advisory warning. The sermon will contain mature content. Okay? I think all the kids are gone, so we should be all right with that. Okay, just kidding. In the passage we looked at last week, Paul said, "When I am among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom." So I thought that I would warn you today that Paul is speaking to mature audiences in our passage, that is, spiritually mature. The primary problem Paul is addressing in the first letter to the Corinthians is their reliance on human wisdom. And I'm sure that many of them were well-intentioned and sincere as they sought to follow God, but instead they allowed human reasoning and wisdom to dominate their behavior. The result was division, and the genuine power of the gospel to change lives was being diminished. The way that this affected them and the church is that it kept them spiritually immature. Get that? Listen to this admonition from the writer of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5, it says this: "You have been believers for so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong." Having the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. It's like being able to recognize the real thing from the counterfeit. Do you recall when these new dollars started to get circulated? How often did you see someone hold that dollar up to the light to inspect it to see if, you know, maybe it was authentic or not? I remember when I first got one, I thought to myself, that looks a little strange. I wasn't sure it was the real thing. Did anybody else like that or no? Yes? Yes. Okay. So how do you tell a counterfeit from the real thing? How do you tell a counterfeit from the real thing? Do you study counterfeiting techniques? Do you go online and investigate the kind of paper they use, or the methods, or the practices, the type of ink? How do you know the difference? Well, you don't do it by studying counterfeit techniques. You learn to spot a counterfeit by studying the real thing. And this is what was wrong with the Corinthians. They neglected the real thing and they fell for counterfeit wisdom. If only they would have invested time in God's word and relied on the Holy Spirit to lead them into all truth, they would have seen that there is more to God's word than what is seen on the surface. The Corinthians neglected God's word and they relied on human wisdom. And as a result, they remained spiritually immature. And it had a devastating effect on the church. They were divided over leadership. They quarreled over marriage issues and celibacy and food. They sued each other in court. They struggled with sexual immorality, and they lacked unconditional love for each other. Does that sound familiar? Unfortunately, it does. The church still struggles and is still dominated with many of the same issues because Christians are spiritually immature. Let's look at Paul's word for encouragement and correction. Paul says, starting in verse 10, "But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's own thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths." Paul said, "We do not use words that come from human wisdom." And this is a direct confrontation to those who cherished human wisdom. Remember that the city of Corinth was not a secular city, but a very religious city. They worshiped false gods and they followed the teaching of all these intellectuals, all the educated and scholarly, all the elite people of their day. Here's a couple examples of the wisdom. Epicurus, he said, "There is nothing to fear from gods. There is nothing to feel in death. Good can be attained, evil can be endured." And Epictetus said this, "All religions must be tolerated, for every man must get to heaven in his own way." These philosophers and ideas are but a couple that the Corinthians had to contend with. So given the background and the context, we can see why Paul was so aggressive in arguing for the superiority of God's word over man's wisdom. And Paul vindicates the wisdom of the gospel, declaring the gospel to be superior and mature and spiritual, and the world's wisdom to be inferior and immature and unspiritual. Looking back at verse 2, who is Paul addressing when he begins this? He said back in verse 2, but it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. To us is referring back to verse 6 when Paul said, "Yet when I am among mature believers, I do speak words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to the world or to the rulers of the world, who are soon forgotten." So to us means this: God is revealing the deeper mysteries of the gospel to those who are spiritually mature. The deeper revelation isn't simply intellectual understanding of the gospel. People can understand these concepts, you know, forgiveness, salvation, redemption, regeneration, glorification. As an idea, anyone can understand what forgiveness or regeneration means. Just go look it up in a dictionary, right? However, to have it revealed by the Holy Spirit implies having experienced it, having experienced forgiveness, having experienced salvation and regeneration. Do you know what it means that you were regenerated? That means the Holy Spirit of God is transforming you on the inside. Instinctively, all of us know the difference between theories and practice, don't we? Many of us, whether it's in high school, grade school, or college, learned a lot of theory. And then when you get out in the work world or at whatever your vocation is, you discover that these theories don't always match with practice, do they? It's like the man who said this, Before I got married, I had 6 theories about raising children. Now I have 6 children and no theories. Can I get an amen on that one? Fist bump. Fist bump. Experience brings understanding, just as obedience brings wisdom. Psalms 111:10 begins this way: fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. And it concludes, all who obey his commandments will grow in wisdom. All who obey his commandments will grow in wisdom. Notice that growth in wisdom follows obedience. Until we obey, we won't understand. I ran across this story, which should add to our understanding on this issue. There's a man. He goes into the deli and orders matzo ball soup, motions to the waiter back to his table and says, "Taste the soup." "Sir, is there something wrong?" asks the waiter. "I can get you another bowl right away." "Taste the soup," says the man. "Sir, is there something you want me to tell the chef?" "Taste the soup." "Fine," says the waiter, exasperated. "I'll taste it. Where's the spoon?" "Aha." Yeah, listen, that's a real smart aleck for you, isn't it? And if you know someone that's like that, do not elbow them, please, okay? Wait till you get home. Sometimes you have to do what's being asked before you understand why it's required. You have to be willing to taste the soup in order to discover the spoon is missing. Obedience is vital to our understanding, as we just discussed. Obedience is vital to our spiritual growth. But it can't be accomplished with human effort and wisdom alone. This brings us to the very, very good news that we are not left alone to figure this out by ourselves. This is the very good news. Paul taught that God revealed these things by his Spirit, that the Spirit searches out everything, and he shows us the deep secrets of God. We have received him, that is, we've received the Holy Spirit, not the spirit of this world, and as a result of all this, we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. You can know the wonderful things that God has freely given you. It is by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is the agent in this world. He teaches us and illuminates the Scripture so that we can understand it. The Holy Spirit is able to impart true wisdom to the spiritually mature because he has full knowledge of God. Nothing is hidden from the Holy Spirit. Nothing is hid from the Holy Spirit because he shares this divine attribute of omniscience. God knows everything. The Hebrews writer said in Hebrews 4:13, nothing in all of creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. He is the one to whom we are accountable. Jesus promised to send us the Holy Spirit in order to continue his mission on this earth. You remember Jesus had a mission when he came for the short amount of time he was on earth? His mission was to redeem mankind and to establish his church. And how is he continuing that mission today? It is through the work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts and lives of us. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would reveal God's truth to us and be our teacher. He said in John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, which he has come already, he will guide us into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. Now, in order to back up his claim, Paul speaking about the Holy Spirit, to show that the Holy Spirit is able, he is able to show us the deep secrets of God. Paul uses this analogy between the human spirit and the Holy Spirit. In verse 11, he says, No one can know a person's, that's right, it's right there in the word, up there. No, it's not up there. Are we ahead? Zach, you're ahead of us. Okay. I'm on 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, and it says, no one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. Paul acknowledges that a person's thoughts remain hidden from others except for themselves, and it's the same with God. God's thoughts remain hidden from us, but are revealed to the Holy Spirit, who in turn shares them with us. Paul said, when we receive the Holy Spirit, not the spirit of this world, we are able to know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. Think about these foolish Corinthians. They prized and valued human wisdom over the wisdom of God. They abandoned the living God, his wisdom, his will, and his spirit, all while patting themselves on the back for their superior wisdom and intellect. Listen to what they gave up because of their pride. They gave up freedom. They gave up their liberty. In 2 Corinthians, Paul said, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So, and he says to the Romans, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. They forfeited their freedom. As a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, as followers of Jesus, we have been set free from sin and set free from this world's systems. We are no longer under the authority of Satan. As Paul said to the Colossians, for he, that is Christ, has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and brought and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. In this closing verse, Paul says in verse 13, when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. In other words, Paul says, I am not speaking merely from a human point of view. I am speaking the revealed truth that comes from the Holy Spirit. I'm using the Holy Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. In the King James, that last sentence ends with comparing. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, how does the Spirit teach the believer? How does the Spirit teach you? By focusing on the real thing. So the counterfeit will be seen for what it is. The Corinthians, just like us, were off the mark because they were mixing human wisdom and reasoning with spiritual truth, which resulted in sin, division, hate, jealousy, immorality, just to name a few. This means that even well-meaning believers can resist the Holy Spirit and fall into worldliness. This is the bottom line. God revealed the mysteries of the gospel as a gift to those who are spiritually mature, to those who are listening, giving him time in prayer and in meditation, who are seek and you'll find, Jesus said. and to those who will teach it to others. Now imagine for a moment. I thought about putting that warning up again. Imagine for a moment that you possessed the knowledge to cure cancer. It was divinely given to you by direct revelation from God. God revealed His plan for the cure, and He gave you specific directions on how to use it. He instructed you to travel to Mayo to make an appointment with one of the specialists, and to stay there, not to leave until you got the ear and the attention of at least one person who would hear you out. You stayed and you remained diligent until the very end, until someone finally accepted what you were saying. Finally, the knowledge has been accepted. It's been processed. Tests have been run. Trials have been run, and they've been successful. The new medicine and techniques will cure cancer wherever it is applied. Countless millions of lives are saved over the next 5 years, 10 years, 50 years. Now imagine you decided to keep this knowledge to yourself. What would possess someone to keep life-saving knowledge to themselves? Now imagine for a moment that you knew the mystery of the gospel, a truth that had been hidden for centuries. Prophets and kings and theologians and scholars have been searching the answers for centuries, looking for the answer to life's biggest questions and problems. And suddenly, God chose to reveal the mystery of the gospel in His Son, Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus into the world, His only Son, to save the world. His life would be offered in exchange for yours. His shed blood on the cross would be the cure for sin. His blood would not just cover sin. It wouldn't simply mask it. It would destroy it. And as a result, countless millions of lives in the next 5 years, 10 years, 50 years are saved. Now imagine that you possess this knowledge and kept it for yourself. What would possess you to keep that to yourself? Seriously. It is time to take action. The first thing you need to do is to recognize the difference between what is right and wrong and grow up, so that you can tell the counterfeit from the real thing. Are you going to know the counterfeit by studying counterfeit methods, how things are produced? No. You're going to spot the counterfeit by studying the real thing. This is how you discern the difference between what is right and what is wrong. How does it look? How does it feel? How does it sound? Compare it with the real thing. Does it measure up to the Word of God? What is it going to cost you to study the real thing? Time. What is it going to cost you if you don't? You're going to look like a fool when you fall for the counterfeit. And this is what's at stake. Do you want to live as a fool, not knowing the deeper things of God? If you want to grow and mature in Christ, you must believe. You must believe that reading and studying and meditating on God's Word is worth your time. And spending time praying and asking God to reveal the deeper meaning, the deeper truths. Just like that image said, there is more to God's word than what's on the surface. Are you digging? Are you going for it? Secondly, teach others how to obtain this freedom and how to live in that freedom. Jesus said, everyone who sins is a slave to sin, but I have come to set the captives free. All of us are slaves to sin, just like the Israelites were when they lived in slavery those 400 years in Egypt. Now, can you imagine for a moment that you're a child, 13, 14, 15, and you're a fifth, eighth generation slave? You don't know what freedom is. You wake up every day and someone's making the choices for you. Go here, go there, eat this, do that, sleep now, wake up now. You have no choices. You're a slave and you've been raised in it. You don't know any different. You just wake up every day following and obeying someone else's command, telling you what to do. And all of a sudden, God comes along and sets you free. He offers freedom. Remember, they weren't all that crazy about the freedom, all the complaining and the grumbling. But guess what? God set them free. But you know what he did? After these people were raised generation after generation in slavery, do you know they didn't know how? They didn't know how to govern themselves. They didn't know how to make choices. Should I get up now? Should I get up? They had no idea how to govern themselves and to live in freedom. So God gave them rules. He gave them laws and said, this is how you do it. He established rules and laws to help govern their freedom so they'd learn how to live in it. You and I and everyone you know is a slave to sin. They're in bondage. They don't know what it means to live in freedom. And guess what? You are the one that needs to tell them how to obtain that freedom. And once they know it, once they have that freedom, once they've been forgiven and saved and God is working in them, they need to be taught how to live and walk in the freedom every day. Think about that. God didn't just set them free. He provided leaders, instructors, teachers, priests who would do what? Instruct and teach and show them how to walk in that freedom. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit has given the church today. Ephesians 4:11, the Holy Spirit has given the church pastors, teachers, evangelists to teach people to do the work that you have been called to. Jesus said in Matthew 28, go and make disciples. That is, teach people how to become free. In verse 20, he said, and teach these new believers to obey all the commands that I have given. That is, teach them to walk in the freedom that they have received. If you truly believe everything that you had just heard, what would possess you to keep it to yourselves? Pray with me. Lord, I do not know what to ask. Would you please, by your Holy Spirit, confirm every word that's been spoken in the hearts of every person who's heard it? Would you convict each and every one of us, Lord, that we need to know the difference between what's real and what's counterfeit, and that we're only going to know it as you illuminate your word, as we study and invest our time in it? And would you convince each one of us, Lord, that there are people around us, friends, family, children, grandchildren, co-workers, who are living as slaves to sin and have never been shown what it means to be free? And for many of us in here who are spiritually mature, to take on the responsibility to teach the others how to walk in his freedom, to make disciples, to teach them to obey all the command. Lord, your words are plain and they are piercing our hearts if we will simply allow your Spirit to press this upon us. Father, I plead with you to bring glory and honor to yourself by making us, each one of us, Lord, into the people that we are supposed to be. Help us, and help us to help others. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand as we sing.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow through ceaseless prayer. Let them flow through ceaseless prayer. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee, filled with messages from thee. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only full for thee, ever only all for thee.
I want you to know, as I've been thinking about this particular message and this truth, I want you to recognize something. You, not everyone has the exact same gifts and talents. We were talking about this last night at small group. Some people have five talents, some people have two. Okay? Take what you have and use it for God's glory. If you do not know the deeper secrets, if you don't have it all down and you wouldn't know how to tell someone how to become a Christian or that Jesus loves them, that Jesus' death on the cross, if you don't know how to tell them, I'm just going to say, why don't you practice? You know, get your sister on the phone, say, hey, I want to practice something. You know, call your sister up, say, I want to pretend like you don't know Christ. I'm going to, you know, you got to get started. Take what you have, share it with other people. Most everyone in this room knows it. Listen, you know enough. I heard a message in China. If any one of you guys went to China, even after 6 months of listening to messages, you would be a theologian in China. You can share the gospel right now today. You probably don't realize it, but you have enough knowledge right now to help someone else come to know what it means to be free. And you have enough knowledge to help someone else learn how to walk in that freedom. Almost every one of you do, okay? So take what you have and use it for God's glory, okay? Amen. All right, I'm going to pray for us. Father, thank you for this amazing day of worship. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you did not leave us alone when you saved us, but you're regenerating us, adopting us in your family, and teaching us that we might teach others. Help us all to walk in the freedom that you have given us by your Son, by your Spirit, and help us to live it out for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless all of you. Have a good week.
Joni, thank you. Doug, thank you. Thank you.